Good worship today. Amen. Today, I've got to keep moving through the Second John passage, trying to finish the year strong. We are working on our word of the year, which is abide. I would love to tell you that I was smart enough to put all this together in January, and I'm just working a schedule, but it didn't work like that. Anybody that knows me knows better. I've been really struggling with this set of passages for weeks now. It's not going away, so I'm staying right here. Second John, is just, 15, 13 verses. Some weeks I preach one verse, some weeks not. This morning will be a not. I'm starting in the 9th verse, so if you throw that up there. This is a tough subject because I preach a lot on the subject of holiness in the life of the church. It is not something that is strange or new to this ministry, and yet I keep coming back to it because it's central to God's command to the Israelites in the Old Testament that they were to be his people and he would be their God, and there would be this understanding of how they would live and what they would do. And every time they got messed up, you know, every time they strayed, they'd get sent into captivity, they'd, you know, whatever, Babylon, Egypt, and God would call them back, protect them, do whatever, and then, you know, they'd stray again, and eventually he just got tired of it. Scripture says that for 400 years he didn't say a word to the people of Egypt or of Israel because he got to a point with them, he just said, I can't get here. We can't get here. It's not possible. So this subject is so important that I'm going to start slow. This word is pretty benign, again, unto itself, unless you really spend time with it. The word is the second word, whosoever transgresseth. Say that 5 times fast. Transgresseth. Yeah, I can't get it twice. Abides not in the doctrine of Christ, and they have not God. He that abides in the doctrine, he hath both the Father and the Son. I'm just preaching them first two, depending on your version, the first two words. This concept of transgressing is, it's unique because when you look this word up in Greek, it's only found one place and one time, right here. But what's interesting to me is its root comes out of the Old Testament, where it's found literally dozens, if not hundreds of times. So the idea of transgressing is something that's near to the Father's heart. It's important in the life of the church. And yet, for some reason, we live in a day and a time where we treat this word casually. So I'm going to give you, it's going to take me a minute, but I'm going to give you two or three definitions quickly, because one's from the New Testament and one's from the Old Testament, but I think it's important to keep context. The word transgresseth is a difficult concept, and yet it's pretty simple when you look at it in its purest form or in its root phase. The word transgresseth is derived from a Hebrew word, pesha. It means to break faith or to act rebelliously. In a biblical context, to transgress is to go beyond established boundaries, particularly those set by God. It signifies a deliberate act of disobedience and rebellion against divine law. That's kind of the Old Testament kind of look at it. Let me move to the next one. Transgresseth. Yes, get it 5 times fast. encapsulates the idea of willful disobedience, a conscious choice to step out of God's ordained path. This is a, I know it's hard because holiness is always hard. The idea that we need to be in a certain place in a certain way in our mind, in our heart, in our inner being, to accept God's parameters and standards that he has established, not only in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, the church of this generation and the culture rebels all the time. You know, we're going to have what we want. We can have our cake and eat it too. We can believe that God is, but we can live a life however we want to live it because we're all going to get there. And yet Scripture is very clear that that's not true. And yet we want what we want, but yet let's be honest, most of us know when we're stepping beyond the boundaries of what's acceptable to the Lord. Most of us don't stumble out of our faith with the Lord or stumble out of whatever it is God's called us to. Most of the time, it's a conscious choice where we know what the Bible says on whatever subject. This is where it's really going to be tough for some of you because I don't preach the seven deadlies. I'm never going to get up here and go all Sunday long about smoking and drinking or all Sunday long about, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Because holiness is a concept that encapsulates everything that's outside of God's will for your life. So, you know, I could be the guy that stands up here and just Sunday after Sunday beats up everybody on your line, whatever your line is. But I have chosen for 30 years now not to do that. Because the bigger picture is that God expects holiness in the life of the church. And those who choose not to live that way have transgressed. It's that simple. You know, when we're doing stuff that's on our radar, our choice, it's really a hard concept for the culture because we're taught that, you know, we can have what we want. Just put your head down, work hard, get whatever it is you want, chase after your dreams, your desires, your aspirations, and it's all okay. Because you got to do you. And that consistently, the Bible is very clear that God expects people to live in a certain way with certain values and with certain parameters, and these are the parameters that keep us from being like them. But when we blur the lines, we cross the boundaries, we negate the life that he intended for us, and I'm just going to say it, we then put in place a set of circumstances that leaves us short of our calling. Because we've accepted a standard or a value or something from the culture that we think is okay for us, even though I know what the Bible says, it's okay because no one's going to know. And so what happens is we continually devalue the concept of holiness and boundaries and expectations so that we can have whatever it is we want, that little thing. And the problem is we will never rise above because a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. Whatever it is that God had for you, you're always going to be short of it because you've opened the door. Because you've stepped across a line intentionally. This is hard, and I know it's hard. But there is a reason that God has made it clear, both New and Old Testament. I can stand up here all day and quote scriptures to you about righteousness and holiness and being obedient and submitting to the Lord. And yet, all of us are going to sit here. Most of us are going to sit here with this, well, what they don't know won't hurt them. What they don't know about me, they won't, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Because what happens when we step across the line and we step outside of that developmental process God has put in place, because we've opened the door to something from the culture, something from Satan's realm, something from Satan's kingdom. We've opened a door to something. We've given place to something. We have negated our growth in a very visual way. You won't see it for the first 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but as people begin to maturate through their gift cycles and they begin to develop the nuances of who God is in them, some of us are getting passed over. That wasn't even in my notes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we are missing the developmental sequences that come when we are completely obedient and holy before the Lord. We are missing things because we got a toe where we shouldn't have a toe. We've opened a door where we shouldn't have opened a door. We've allowed something to stay which should never have been allowed to stay. There's a mindset. There's a belief system. There is a bondage because we wanted what we wanted and we kept it instead of dealing with it. He that transgresseth abides not in the doctrine of Christ. I'm going to preach that next week. Or somebody will. Because transgressing negates our ability to be one with the Lord. And then there's always going to be a consequence. And you don't always see it in the immediate. Transgressing literally means I've stepped outside of the designed route God has for my life and I'm doing my thing. I'm not abiding by His text. I'm not abiding by His word. I'm not submitting to His lordship and leadership. I haven't accepted the principles and precepts of Scripture. This is a big one. There's entire denominations that do not preach holiness. And yet Scripture says over and over, without holiness, you cannot see the Lord. Not only in the end of time, but in the real time. Because you want to see the Lord in your life, you better be standing in right step. You want to see Him reveal Himself through gifts and revelations and opening your understanding and empowerments. You have to be in right place with Him, abiding. When we transgress, we step outside and He goes, okay, I'll just pull back. You're making headway, but now you're not. Your understanding was opening and you were beginning to see not just life and faith and eternity, but you're beginning to understand your plan and your purpose and your empowerment and the things that He wants to roll out in you. But because you took a detour, you bought into a doctrine or a philosophy or a deliverance or whatever, you know, then here you stand outside. This is why it's so important. When you have large denominations who say it's not possible to live holy in this life, we're empowering Satan to put his thumb on the life of the church because of bad theology, because of preference, because of not listening. Scripture says, be ye holy as, not be holy when you get to heaven, not be holy after death. Be ye holy as I am holy. It is a present participle. It is in the here and now. Not down the road, not next month, not 10 years from now. Be ye holy as I am holy. This is what abiding looks like. We can't get there because of the transgressions. We struggle because we've willfully stepped outside of the boundaries that are expected in the life of the church because we've cut ourselves a little slack. We've given ourselves a little room to breathe. We've opened the door for Satan to get a foothold, either consciously or unconsciously, and now we're standing compromised. Why do I preach this so hard? D.S. Warner, the founding father of the Church of God movement, wrote a book in the 1890s before he died. That's over 130 years ago. It was titled Unity and Holiness. 400 pages. You want to know why the Church of God started off with such a bang? You want to know why the Church of God had healings, miracles, signs, and wonders, raising people from the dead, people operating in all kinds of crazy gifting, healings, miracles are going on all over the place? Because holiness was a main contributor to the foundation of the church when he birthed it. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't something he said, well, maybe we can negotiate this or that. It was holiness, holiness, holiness. Because he knew there was a direct correlation between the rightness of the church standing before the Lord and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it was non-negotiable. It wasn't optional. Now we stand 130 years later and the Church of God looks like every other denomination out there, trying to carve our little way and try to understand, you know, what is socially acceptable and what people will tolerate, because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to say things that are going to upset them. And yet, for over 100 years, the legacy of the Church of God has always been holiness. Because our founding fathers knew that there was a reason that God spoke of it so much in the New and in the Old Testament. I mean, if I took a poll in the room today, how many of you would say holiness is possible in this lifetime? There's a bunch who would struggle with it. Because they're still hanging on to the parts of them that are not of God. And that is informing their opinions. That is informing their theology. When instead the Bible is clear, there is only one way. One concept, one idea. Be ye holy as I am. Wow. That was weak. Be ye holy as I am holy. That was better. We might get there eventually. Do it 33 times, we'll get there, right? Transgressing is the conscious act of saying, I don't believe what God's word says about whatever your subject is. Whatever your bailiwick is. You know? We don't submit to the Lord as he says it. We submit to him as we prefer it. And then we wonder why we don't receive or see or stand. Because I don't want to make the changes. I don't want to look at my life, you know, critically. I don't want to, you know, study the word and go, yeah, it's true, and yes, I believe it, and I'm doing everything I can to come into alignment with it. Instead, we just stand in this place of in between. We have a foot in the world and a foot in the church, and we wonder why we're not seeing what we should see. It's pretty evident. Especially over time, it's very evident. Because we aren't willing to take God at his word and to just see it the way he sees it. I just stand up here and quote scripture after scripture. I'm just going to give you three. We'll just throw them up behind me. We'll read them quick. I tried to find different ones because you get tired of hearing the same ones all the time. So I dug around and found a couple of different ones. Ephesians 5:5. For you know that, yeah, this is straight up King James, isn't it? Because nobody uses that word anymore. Whoremonger, wow. Nor an unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom. How much cleaner do you want it? Somebody who's fooling around with sexual addictions and looking at porn and, you know, lusting after, and it's male or female. It ain't just one way anymore. People who mess around in things they shouldn't be messing around, they're listed on their own, and then an unclean person. Do you see it? I mean, can you get your head around it? I can't preach it. Grab the next one. If I spend too much time, I'm going to get sidetracked. Well, there's the one I quoted earlier. Okay, one more. Hebrews 12, 14. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whoever is born of God sinneth not. Gradual sanctification doesn't work, church. Hanging on to crap for 30 years, thinking, oh, I'll eventually get through this, get over it, I'll outgrow this, I'll mature through it. No, that's not what it says. What you've done is you've contaminated your vessel for over 30 years. But here's the kicker. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself. We use this in deliverance all the time. Because here's the unknown thing that nobody wants to talk about. When you open the door to Satan and you give him opportunity because you have transgressed, you have not dealt with sin, you haven't dealt with addiction and bondage and mindset, you haven't adapted and adopted the principles of Scripture to be the rule of life, but you're negotiating your way through the process. Excuse me. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, meaning we stay holy before the Lord. Because the next line is where the problem comes in. That the wicked one cannot touch him. When you keep yourself, you draw a line that Satan can't cross. So you cannot be oppressed and possessed. But there are millions of people in the church who don't keep themselves holy before the Lord, and then they wonder why they have addictions. They wonder why they struggle. They wonder why they have persistent thoughts that take them places they should never go. They're dwelling on stuff they shouldn't be dwelling on. They know it's outside of God's will and God's plan, and because they are doing it, they've opened a door. When we keep ourselves, we insulate ourselves against Satan's attack. When we don't, we open a door. Not only do we struggle with overcoming whatever it is we're struggling with, and we limit our ability to develop in Christ because there's leaven in the loaf, so the loaf won't develop the way it should, but we also open the door for Satan's oppression possession. There's a reason God speaks strongly about abiding in Him. Not abiding in the culture. Not abiding in our bondage. This idea of transgressing is, I think, one of the most important concepts every believer has to get right with. I wrote it in my notes. I know I haven't even looked at my notes since I got up here. But I wrote in my notes that next to salvation and knowing Jesus as your personal Savior, the greatest thing you can do is buy into holiness. Because when you believe what the Bible says about it, you open the possibilities of heaven to operate in your life. When you leave that door closed and you don't deal with it the way God expects you to, you constantly leave yourself open to finishing beneath your potential. Transgressing. It sounds so archaic. It's this Old Testament word that creeped into the New Testament one time. Oh, holiness is in the New Testament. Righteousness is in the New Testament. But transgressing is this idea that I intentionally know what God expects and I do something else. I've read what the Bible says about ABC in my life, and I keep it because I don't want to come into alignment. I don't want to submit. I don't want to see the world the way God wants me to see it. I want to see it the way I've always seen it. And by leaving that door open, we intentionally or unintentionally bring a judgment over ourselves. So what do I do with this? Get a right understanding of the way God sees holiness. David had sin in his life. But yet the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because when sin was revealed, he confessed, repented, and didn't go back again. What made him holy was his ability to gather his thoughts and his mind and say, that was not a good outcome. I'm not doing that again. Holiness doesn't mean that you don't have quote-unquote sin. It means that when sin is revealed, either through preaching or even a song on the radio or a testimony or through the word, when you hear it, you allow it to sit in and then you go, you know what, maybe I need to deal with this. Maybe I should stop doing this. Maybe I need to submit to the Lord and believe what he says versus what my preference is. Maybe I should research what the Bible says about whatever it is that you struggle with. And if this is God's plan and this is God's standard and this is where I am, how do I get here? Don't just keep living in a place of separation. Don't just keep living in a place where you got one foot in and one foot out. Nobody's happy in that position. God isn't happy, definitely, because eventually he's going to have to judge you. Eventually you're going to stand before him and he's going to go A, B, C, D. July 30th, 1968, you got saved. You said that I'm leaving my old life and I'm a new creature in Christ. Why is the old creature still in you in 2010? Why are you still operating out of the old mindsets and chasing after the stuff of the culture and the world, things that are spelled out in Scripture that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you're still doing it? Not easily deterred nor scurred. There's a reason when God puts things in Scripture, it's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. We read it and we go, okay, Lord, I may not understand how to get there, but I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep working. Not over 6 months, not over 6 years. In the next 2 weeks, I'm dealing with this mindset. In the next 2 weeks, I'm dealing with this behavior. In the next 5 minutes, I'm going to submit to you. We make a plan and we work it forward. We don't continue in a place where we have one foot in and one foot out. I wrote three things to close because that's what good pastors do. They always have a three-point closer, right, Joel? Joel loves it when I do this. It's the one thing you can count on every Sunday is a three-point close. May not fit any other place in the world. When will we see sin? I said this to somebody not long ago. When will we see sin the way God sees it? Because that's a foundational principle for people who are struggling with holiness. They want to see whatever it is they see the way they see it. They don't want to see it the way somebody else sees it. That's why when you bring it up, they get defensive. That's why when it's brought up in discussion or, you know, even in passing or whatever, they get their back up as soon as you start bringing this stuff to the light. Because it's not comfortable, and they know it's not right, so they respond out of anger and defensiveness instead of going, yep, I see what the Bible says, and I've got to do this. Not optional. When will we see sin the way God sees it? Number two. When will we see the concept of transgression, righteousness, holiness, the way God expects it in us? Not as a concept that's out there, and I'll get there before I die. I say this to people all the time. You know, if we live in this world, and this is one thing that the eternal security people just hate it when I talk like this. Once saved, always saved. No, that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says that we stand before the Lord, he's going to judge us according to things we've done and not done. Just because you know him doesn't mean he is going to let you in the door. The Bible is very clear. The way to hell is wide and everybody's lined up to get there. The way to heaven is narrow and few that be that find it. Why do you think I preach this hard? Because I'm going to stand before the Lord someday and I'm going to have to tell him what I told you and why I told it to you. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it just to make your feelings better. I'm not going to whitewash it just because it may not be palatable. Either we're going to measure, step up, step in, or we're not. We have to see these subjects the way God sees them, not the way we like them. This is such a base, this is point three for those that are listening. This is such a basic concept. Be holy as I'm holy. Wow, pretty simple. Don't need a big theological degree. Don't need to study the Hebrew and the Greek on it. Don't need to spend all kinds of time debating the merits of it. It's pretty straightforward. First person, be ye as I. That's right, clean. Not a lot of adjectives, not a lot of verbs. It's just straight up. And there's a reason for it. The expectation is what God knows is coming that we haven't seen. God knows is in your potential if you could ever get there. He knows what he wants to reveal. I mean, the prophet tells us all the time. What's the passage? If you can think it, he's already got stuff coming that you can't even think. Jeremiah 33:3. So if he has all this stuff planned, every transgression stops the delivery. Every faulty theology holds up the timing. Every refusal to come into alignment delays his expected end for each one of us. I wrote this last sentence. For me, this basic concept is one of the greatest single decisions you'll ever make. Because once you buy into a lifestyle that is reflective of God's values and his stated precepts and principles for your life, you open the door to things that you can't even get your head around. But as long as you live in this other place, you'll never see it. Transgressing. To transgress. To transgresseth. Sounds like an old word. Is an old word. But it has value because it demonstrates intention. It tells us that we need to stay in the boundaries instead of selectively choosing what we're going to receive and what we're not going to receive. What we're open to hear and what we're not open to hear. Many live in the church beneath their level of development because they've opened the door to something or some things and have not exclusively committed themselves to abiding with Christ. In the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about the doctrines of Christ. I'm not going to spend 6 weeks on it, but we're going to talk about it. Because these doctrines are the way that we understand and can achieve our ultimate purpose in life. These doctrines are throughout Scripture designed for the body of Christ to become made in the image of Christ. But when we are selective, when we don't apply, where we don't stand in the right places, we compromise our ability to be and to become. I would just ask you this morning, as we're getting ready to close, how are you doing with this holiness thing? How are you doing with straddling the line? What are the blatant things in your life you know that when you read Scripture, it jumps at you, but you have not applied it? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, I could talk about this till I'm blue in the face. You know, I've known people who read the Bible, and when they get to a passage that challenges them, they just skip it. They start to read it, they go, oh, not today, and they just jump to the next verse. Because it's confronting, it's in their face, it's something they need to address, but instead of doing it, we'll just act like it isn't there. And that's okay, I guess, if you're five. But at some point, if we don't deal with things as they come to us, we have things in our wake that are stacking up. Because we didn't deal with this, and we didn't deal with that, and we didn't deal with this. And all of a sudden, it's not just one thing anymore. We've opened the door to two and three and four things. Because we refuse to receive the word the way God expected it to be received. We refuse to apply it the way he expected us to apply it. I would just tell you today, I don't like doing altar calls. It's not my bag. But I would tell you today, don't walk out the door hanging on to junk. Make a commitment. Make a decision. One thing at a time. I know of two, three things in my life that I know if God was sitting right next to me, he wouldn't be happy with. Then deal with it. Make a decision. Make a commitment. Draw the line. Get back both feet inside of the desired will of the Lord. Quit straddling the line. Because what he's going to do with you as you come into alignment with him is begin to open those doors and those windows of heaven and pour out stuff in you that you can't even imagine. Prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, healings. He's going to start dropping this stuff into you when you come into alignment. As long as you're playing both ends against the middle, not so much. Not so much. Shall we stand? Lord, I know this is a hard word. And I know it's one that we've talked about around here for decades. But Lord, I know this is such a foundational principle that cannot be negotiated. You speak to us in the Old Testament and the New Testament about our need to be righteous and holy. To address the things that you find displeasing. Not to give ourselves a pass, not to open a door, not to stand as one whose chin is up and chest is out and we're just going to defy you because no one's going to tell me. But to understand that you are the controller of not just life and death, but you have plans and you have things you want to empower us with that as long as we stand in this place of compromise, we can never achieve. Scripture says you have good plan for your children. I just want each one of your children to receive it, Lord. To receive the fullest outpouring that they possibly can because they stand in right place with you. Not in a place of question or a place of compromise, but a place of righteousness and holiness. One who understands that every choice leads to a verdict, I guess I would say. One that shows us who we are, or one that continues to hide the stuff that needs to be gotten rid of. Holy Spirit, I would just speak into the life of each one, Lord, that your conviction would be strong and real. That each one's understanding of their condition would be revealed to them. And that the need to take care of some business so that they can open the door to get on track, to receive and to operate in their fullest potential hangs in the balance of what we do here this morning.